try and hold us too long. I don't have Isaac back there to cut me off. I got Brother Tate back there. He's going to try and manage us tonight. He is our fill-in sound man. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Thankful for Brother Tate. Amen. Turn in your Bibles with me, 1 Corinthians. Amen. Familiar set of, or familiar chapter, I should say. This is probably not a verse that we probably just go and just meditate on. But I've had this portion of scripture on my heart for a while, and I shared a little bit about it while I was there at Truth Camp and opening in one of the devotions, and I just really feel impressed to share it with us here tonight. Amen. I've added to it, and I'll try not to hold us too long. You know, you get to adding two things, you get a thought, and it goes from a thought to a message, and then it goes from a message to a series, and I'm not going to try and do the whole series tonight. One of these days, maybe. Amen. I've got a whole host of things that I think about coming from this portion of verse, but 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 15, when you have it. Amen. I did this the other night when I was opening service. Just say word. All right. That way I can tell, you know, we just say amen out of habit. Yeah, see, if you say something different, I can tell exactly who's there and who's not. So I got 1%. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to activate the 1% and ask the Lord to bring forth multiplication. Amen. Amen. Let's read this together tonight. I beseech you, brethren, that you know the house of Stephanas. That is the first fruit. How many likes it when you get the first fruits out of the garden? You know, it's like that doesn't belong to you. Oh, it belongs to the pastor. Amen. It belongs to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we find here the first fruits of Achaia. Anybody here know what that word Achaia means? Yeah, I got any scholars in here tonight? This is what's going to be interesting. Just put that word in the back of your mind. We'll go to that here in a moment. And they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. That word Achaia meant trouble. The first fruit of the house we find here from Stephanas, we find that first fruit of Achaia. This little community was known for one thing, and that was for causing trouble. But let me tell you something. When you take someone that has been filled with trouble, and when they get filled with grace, and get filled with what salvation has done for them, and what the Spirit of God can do in you, you become addicted to the ministry of the saints. I want to preach just for a short time here tonight on simply that word, addicted. Lift your hands and let's go to the Lord in prayer here tonight. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We're thankful for your power. Pray, Lord, that you would move in this house, that you'd move upon your people. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint these altars, God, for as we come to them, Lord, that we would be changed, transformed. Lord, that we would take the things in our life that are filled with trouble and fill them with your Spirit. Because when your Spirit is that begins to take hold of that place, Lord, it can be fruitful. And we thank you, Lord, here tonight. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. Amen. I want you to look at your neighbor, the one that you know the best. Amen. That you've been around the longest. So Brother Shelton's the closest. Brother Pastor, you and Brother Rick have known each other for quite a while. You probably know enough secrets about each other. Amen. And if not, I can enlighten you, Brother Shelton, after service. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, what are you addicted to? Well, so my wife has slipped out. Praise the Lord. you can't rat me out. I have a lot of things that I am addicted to. Now, this word addicted actually means, a lot of times we think of substance abuse. This word addicted means devoted, sold out, determined. You know, but whenever we think of the word addiction, we think of things that we are addicted to. And they do correlate, because what the things that you want, you devote funds to make those things happen. So in a sense, it still means the same thing. If you go all the way back to the 16th century where this word addicted first came from, and give you a little classroom education here tonight, is it meant what this word, when someone said, are you addicted, it meant, are you devoted? Who are you sold to? Who do you belong to? What does everything that's in your fiber, what are you working for? What are you working towards? So I have an addiction. I am devoted to one of many brands of pocket knives. So this one here is a Benchmade. It's one of my favorite ones. I got a really good deal on this one. It's kind of my favorite right now. That's not just one of my own only things that I'm devoted to. Yeah, it's in there now. So I'm not only am I devoted to that brand. Okay, let's talk about brands. Things that we are devoted to wearing. Like I love Under Armour. I have a lot of Under Armour shirts. I have some Under Armour shoes. That's not my favorite shoe. My favorite shoe are Hey Dudes. I have got 4 or 5, maybe 6 pair of those. And I like them. I'm devoted to that brand. Whenever I see someone and I see they need a different pair of shoes, I'm like, man, have you tried Hey Dudes yet? Why is that? Why do I pitch that? Because it's something that I'm devoted to. And it's like a good belt. Like, I like a good leather belt. And I've had cheap belts, and I've had good belts, and I've had great belts. Some of the best belts was probably the ones I got swatted with. They left the most impression. It went to show that it was great to hold your britches up, and even better to straighten out the attitude. We had belts that had our names imprinted on them. My grandma and grandpa Goff would go on a little vacation, and they would always bring us back a belt with our name stamped in it. And I will never forget the time my dad used my belt to whoop me. I'm pretty sure you could have seen the letter prints on my hinder parts. Devoted! We have things that we have to have. Things that are a necessity. Now let me tell you something. There are a lot of things that we are attached to in our life that we do not consider as an addiction. But they are still a problem. Now, I'm going to list off some things here, and it's probably going to get on some of our toes, but when it gets there, just go ahead and say, oh me, and then amen. Oh me, I've been hit. Amen, I'm going to do something about it, okay? Can we play that game here tonight? Amen. Don't look at me that way. I'll come right down there, and I'll come right down your row. Amen, I know you too well. All right, there are some things here. I want to talk about a few of these things. One of the other things that addiction meant was not just devoted to someone or something, but it also was to mean bound. Bound to. So just file that away. There are things that we are addicted to that we don't acknowledge as addiction. Let me list a few. This one here is going to probably hit all of us. Sweets. Sugar. I don't have to have sugar. Let me take all the sugar that you get away for 24 hours. See what kind of mood you're in. You know what that means? That your body is it's counting on your devotion to purchase that to satisfy your flesh. That's one of the easiest ones. I know I'm just shooting with a shotgun here tonight. Another one is music. Another one is social media. I'm not only getting just like one or two amens out there. Moms, dads, be a lot louder. Amen. Phones! We all got that problem, except for Pastor. Amen. He lets us know he is not tethered to that thing. Every service. But we will turn around and drive 10 miles, 15 miles. We'll be 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour late to something to go back and get our phone. Listen to me. But we will leave our Bible and not think twice about it. Now, I'm not preaching against phones, but I want to show us how reliant we are on things that we do not call a problem. Just follow along with me. Games. How many likes to play games? I'm not just talking about games on your device. It could be something as simple as a crossword puzzle. My grandfather was addicted to crossword puzzles. He was. He had so many books, the big books of crossword puzzles, and he would fill them out. And he'd put it down there, and as soon as he would get done, guess what he would go and do? He'd go right down to the store and he'd buy another crossword puzzle. It was his. It was just what drove him. He was devoted to it. Sometimes, now here, this one here is going to be hard for us to swallow. Sometimes we are addicted to good things, but for the wrong reason. I'm going to do this because I know that if I do it, it will make them feel like they are inferior or like they should do better. There is people, listen, church people, that have to be and live to that point. I'm going to do this because I know it'll make them feel like that. Not only is there people that will do that, there's also people that will conjure up all kinds of things that they think that you should do. Now listen, I've been down this path. I'm 33 years old. I've experienced a lot. You say, well, you've not been saved as long as I have. Well, let me tell you, I got saved whenever I was a kid. How old were you? I've experienced probably a lot more church things than a lot of people have, because I was the pastor's and the grandson of the pastor, so I slept under the pews. I heard all kinds of excuses, all kinds of things. Doesn't make me bigger or littler than you are. But the thing is, there's all kinds of things that we will put out there. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. Because they are important. Listen, they are something that you are devoted to. But sometimes we can be devoted to the right thing for the wrong reason. Why do you say that? Well, we find in the scripture that the Pharisees were devoted to keeping the outside of the cup clean. And to show forth, I'm going to use this. This is real hip in our movement now. They're all like, I am holier than you are. That's what the priests were doing. And Christ told them, the outside's polished, but the inside is filthy. So I've gotten down through these lists, and there are many, many other things that I could add to this, but I need to hurry up. Amen. We find here in this portion of Scripture that they were addicted to the ministry. Now, there are a lot of things that we consider as ministry, quotations here, in the world today. But there's a lot of ministry things that we have forgotten. All right, so follow along with me here. This word ministry here in the Greek, it meant, I'm going to read off just a few definitions here. It meant service. It meant service of those that would execute the commands of others. It meant of those that were under the command of God, proclaimed and promoted by God. We find that the office of Moses was considered a ministering office. We find that all of the offices of the apostles were areas of ministry. We find that the area of a prophet, an evangelist, an elder, and the list could go on, teachers, Sunday school administrators, just someone sitting in the pew. We find that ministry was simply the ministration of those that would render, get a hold of this, to others in Christian affection. Even the one of the last representations here is the service of those who prepared and presented food. Now, we have things that Christ has asked us to do. We are to take care of the... Let's see, this is the interactive part. Yep. And the orphans. The widows and the orphans. But guess what? Those are the two things that we forget about first. You know why? Widows usually don't have any money. And orphans, what can they do for you? Because those individuals aren't devoted to you. Get hold of this. We don't devote anything to them. Well, so-and-so needs to take care of that. Well, instead of saying so-and-so, say, even so, Lord, here am I, send me. We love, this is the thing, we like this position. Nobody likes putting on the backpack of warfare and doing it themselves. It's not fun. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, have you ever followed me around for a week, a month, or a couple days? I'm already at that point. All right, I'm going to kick her up a notch. Amen. There are things that we need to be addicted to. We need to be devoted to doing the work of Christ. We need to be someone that is, whenever individuals look at us, that they see that we might be putting in 40 hours in our work week, but whenever we clock out, we don't quit Christ, but instead we carry on, because there are souls that are dying and going to hell that are addicted to all kinds of things in this world. But when someone looks at you, do they see that you are so devoted, that you are so bound, that when they look at you, they only see Christ? We find that John made the statement, I must decrease so that he can increase. Why was that? It's because he's seen and he knew from the beginning of the scriptures in Genesis, as it was written, when Adam and Eve fell, they fell because they became devoted and sold out to the idea of them being God. But let me tell you something here tonight. The only true God, we can put ourselves in that place, but the only thing we will ever end up with is heartache, heartbreak, amen, and destruction around. But as long as you put God in his place, and that's not on the cross, but that's on the throne in your heart, you will begin to draw others to Christ. You will be the one that bringeth forth fruit. I find in Psalms it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Let me tell you, if we begin to trust in God, we bring forth devotion. We bring forth dedication. And we say, I'm willing to minister, whether it be cleaning the toilets, making the food, mowing the grass, and not too our horn about it, but instead just saying, why are you doing what you're doing? I'm doing it because I love Jesus. I was talking to the kids on Thursday, the young people, the young adults. They're not kids. Most of them can drive, even though they don't have a license. Oh, help me, Jesus. Tell them about D.L. Moody. Work 60 hours a week. And when he'd get done selling the shoes, he would go out into the streets and he'd find every child, every hungry person, everyone that was lost and forgotten, and he would invite them to church. He would invite them to his Sunday school programs, where he would take his own money because the church that he attended did not see him fit for service, because He did not have a higher education than what they did. Let me tell you something. If we would get back to the point of saying, I know I've poured in 40 hours so that I can pay my tithes. I hope you do. I put in my 40 hours so that I can put gas in my car, which I hope you do, so you can make it back to church. But when you come back, don't come back by yourself. Less, as of right now, statistics as of at this point, is less than 1% of the average congregation will ever lead someone to Christ. I'm going to ask for a show of hands here tonight. How many in here has ever led someone one-on-one to Christ? Raise your hand. Okay, keep your hands up. How many in here with their hand raised has led more than two people to Christ? Okay, that's good. We're above average. Now here's the next one. How many in here has led more than five people to Christ? How many has led more than 10 people to Christ? So the thing is, you know how many B.L. Moody led to Christ? Over a million is what they state. Is he ministered to that many people over his life? Now he wasn't keeping a record book, but they say that's what it would have been. It would have been over. But we're satisfied with just one. I've led one. I'm good. This is difficult. We are a growing church, are we not? So in order to grow, we have to make sure that our devotion is in the right place. I'm not going to invite them. They smell. Let me tell you something. I've walked up against all kinds of things that smell good, smell bad, and indifferent. Christ loved them the same. Let me tell you, Lord, they didn't stink back then. They probably stunk a lot worse. But bless the Lord, oh my soul, I'm devoted. I can make 3 services a month, 4 services a month. I'm good. I want us to awaken and ensure that we are who we say we are. Say, Brother Lucas, it's not easy for me to invite people to church. Okay, don't invite them to church. Invite them to dinner after church. Brother Freddie's all in on that. Like, you invite me every day, I'll come. Pick me up and take me to McDonald's. Hey, amen, I'm going to wrap this up here pretty quick. Ephesians makes this statement. And walk in love as Christ also who loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Christ was sold out. He was dedicated, devoted, determined. Write those down, Brother Tim. You can use those in a message. Amen. Those are free tonight. He was all those things. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he made this statement, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. Christ only asked that one time. You don't find anywhere that he asked it while he was going through the temptation, 40 days of temptation. He said, Lord, God, Father, I'm tired of this trial. Can I go ahead and come home? No. But when it came time for him to sacrifice, the last drop of blood that he knew his body would contain, Father, if there be any other way, I'm willing to do whatever. But if. Our problem is, as Americans, and I'm not singling anybody out, please don't feel that way. And if you feel that way, I'll meet you at the altar. We'll pray together. The problem is that at every passing moment that we feel that tug for us to witness to someone, Lord, if it be possible, any other way, find somebody else to do it. Let them sing, not just inviting people to church. Let me just come all the way back to obeying God in the house of God where it should be the easiest. Let them sing the song one more time. Well, they didn't sing it one more time, God, so that wasn't your will. Am I the only one that's ever done that? I'm guilty. I'm as guilty as they come. I've done it. Lord, if it be your will, help the pastor to say three times, amen, 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 and then I'll come and do it. We list out all of these things to delay our devotion. And we wonder why, stand up, Brother Tim, when we pray for someone, we pray for someone and they don't receive their healing and we're just like, well, it was their fault. They just don't have faith. All right, I'm gonna wrap this up. You better come again, or I'm gonna shut this down here in just a second. The Bible says, those that are sick and afflicted, they are to call for the elders of the church. It doesn't say that they're coming up with a heart full of faith. They're calling on the elders because the elders, the ones that are in that position, should have enough faith. But sometimes we, as the ones that say that we're the believer, we didn't fill up our faith box before we came to church. Because we were more devoted. This is all close to home. Listen, this, I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me just as much as I am to you. A lot of times we find so many other things that we can be devoted to. Oh man, that's going on. Let me see. Oh, this is going on. And before we know it, we come to the church and we're empty. We're empty of energy. We're empty of expectation. We're empty of empathy. And because we are empty, Brother Matthew, and we have no energy, we don't want to carry our vessel back home full because we're tired. You pick up something that's empty and you carry it, you're like, man, I like this. You fill it with rocks and you're like, oh, where's that empty bucket? Me and Brother Isaac was pushing a wheelbarrow the other day. And I like pushing it when it was empty. I'd push it over to the trailer, set it down, and I'd go back around to where the work was going on. Why? I was going to let him push it when it was full. Just being smart. But sometimes we do that with God. We want to bring our empty bucket. We say, God, you can fill it up, but I need you to carry me back. But I find that the disciples, when they were filled with the power and the Spirit of God, they went in that strength. Whenever we get filled up, we've got to harness it. We've got to be devoted. Stand with me. I've gone far too long tonight. Psalms 119, as we're fixing to come. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Be devoted to his word, his will, and you will be a witness. I mean, let's come to the altar here tonight. I know this hasn't been a jump, shout, hoop, and holler, but I hope this is something that will sharpen the edges so that you can draw someone else to the point of acknowledging who Christ is.